Welcome to the Directions on Microsoft Briefing Podcast. I'm Mary Jo Foley, the Editor-in-Chief here at Directions. I'm your host for this series of podcasts for those interested in the Microsoft Enterprise IT ecosystem. The Directions on Microsoft Briefing brings you the best insights from the best independent Microsoft watching firm in the business, Directions on Microsoft. Directions has been focused on providing Microsoft IT planning and negotiation information since 1992. Today's Directions on Microsoft Briefing is going to be the fifth in a multi-part series on licensing that we've been calling the Advisor Podcast. The Advisor episodes cover the key phases of a Microsoft license negotiation, from project management and discovery to negotiation preparation and potential levers you can use to advantage. My guest for this episode, which is all about the top negotiation items for EA agreements, is Directions on Microsoft's Dean Bedwell. Dean oversees Directions' advisory business and works with organizations to optimize their Microsoft licensing agreements. He also trains organizations on Microsoft licensing negotiation strategies and tactics. Before joining Directions on Microsoft, Dean was president of Software Asset Advisors, a software licensing consultancy. And prior to that, Dean spent 11 years at Microsoft managing the Canadian business desk, where he was responsible for negotiating agreements with Microsoft's largest enterprise and public sector customers. Dean, thank you so much for doing the podcast with me today.
Well, thank you very much for that kind introduction.
All right. So today we're going to be talking about negotiation items. So what does that mean exactly? Is it concessions? And whose concessions, if they are? Microsoft's, customers, both? I want some definitions here.
Yep. And so, first of all, when negotiating a Microsoft Enterprise Agreement contract, Microsoft really only does two things. One is price reductions, and the second is contract concessions. And if a change is not documented in a contract concession or an amendment, then it doesn't exist in Microsoft's eyes. Mm-hmm. Concessions may be financial, business, or legal in nature. And generally, Microsoft will try to limit the discounts and concessions, and their primary goal will be to have zero discounts and no concessions. However,
makes sense.
However, Microsoft is more amiable on concessions if the concession is based on regulatory or strong business reasons.
Okay.
Now, you should also note that Microsoft's negotiation model is a give-get type of an engagement. And if you need to get, or if you need to get a concession, you may need 5 to 8 different requests to gain one concession that's important for you. Hmm. And Microsoft will trade away things that are legal or business for things like discount, even though you may think they're not related, such as trading away an increase in limitation of liability for a discount.
Okay. So if you were going to itemize this, what are the top few contract concessions that come into play when you're talking about an EA negotiation?
Well, there's many out there, and each customer will have their own specific requirements. But let me tell you about a couple that are popping up more and more. First one is profiles, the different customer profiles and how people are using the product. Mm-hmm. Many customers are starting to license Microsoft 365 F3, E3, E5 in the same tenant to match the business requirements. And this has impact in many different areas. First of all, from a price perspective, the F3 is much cheaper than the E5. And also compliance pops in. If you need legal hold across those types of things, you may need to get some special consideration from Microsoft. Also, if you're doing different profiles, sharing of the F3 license or devices, currently you're not allowed to do that. It has to be shared with another F3 or F1 user. And what happens if an E3 user starts to use that?
So the F series is first line workers, right? Is that right? Yeah. Okay.
And the other part about when you do profiles is just general management. It's important to note that most customers should be doing profiling now and have different groups of users. However, when you start to get 5 or 6 profiles, it's actually a full-time job to manage those profiles. Mm-hmm. We usually recommend 2 to 3 profiles for an organization in order to best optimize the cost along with management and user requirements. Now, I did say many of these SKUs come with a compliance potential issue. Mm-hmm. So as an example, there is no legal hold in Microsoft 365 F3.
So can I stop you again? I don't know what legal hold is. I've never heard that terminology.
So oftentimes when there's a legal situation in an organization, they're asked to freeze some of their documentation so that it's not destroyed for the legal process.
Okay. Yep.
And if you have that requirement in an organization, F3 does not have legal hold. And if you have profiles between F3 and E3 and E5, you may find yourself at a compliance risk because maybe some of those F3 emails are caught in that legal hold and Microsoft would force you to upgrade. Another concession that we see is around cross-tenant licensing. Mm-hmm. And often many customers have multiple tenants, whether it's commercial and government, or maybe it's just business units with different tenants. And being able to go across tenant without duplicating or triplicating your licensing is mm-hmm. something you may want to ask Microsoft for clarity on. Another concession that we see is really 2 concessions, ramp pricing and a non-standard term for the contract. Many customers have competitors with contract obligations, so competitors to Microsoft, and they're obligated to buy that product over time. But if the customer is considering moving to E5, there may be feature overlaps with these different competitors to Microsoft. And maybe E5 is such a significant uplift to the customer cost, they might not be able to move to the E5 product right away. Mm-hmm. Microsoft deals with that by providing negative declining discounts over a longer term. So instead of the standard 3-year term, they might offer a 5-year term with big discounts in year 1, 2, and 3 going to smaller discounts in year 4 and 5. Mm-hmm. This gives the customer the ability to offset that competitor contract and maybe even offset the big shift of costs they're going to have to go to E5. One last, and then I'll pause, is not to exceed language. Many customers that move to online services, Microsoft offers some discounts to move them into there. And let's pretend that you were given a 30% discount on Microsoft 365 E5. Without a not to exceed clause for price protection on your next contract, you could be staring down a 57% increase in cost for doing the exact same thing.
Yikes.
And I don't know about you, but I wouldn't want to go to my boss and say, hey, I'd like to do the exact same thing as we did last year, but I need 57% more money.
Yeah, probably not going to go over too well.
No. And Microsoft, in order to even keep you flat, they would have to offer you a 37% discount, which would be more than what they offered you to get into the higher level suite. And so not to exceed clause to protect yourself for a longer term is important. And that may also align to that non-standard term of 5 years.
Okay. So we're starting to talk a lot about pricing here. And I feel like when we talk about negotiation items, many people think automatically about pricing. So I'm curious how you advise customers to think about the kinds of pricing concessions that they're likely to get or to not get. And how should they set their expectations here when they're thinking about pricing in terms of this? Yeah.
Yep. First of all, I would say that pricing is something that obviously every customer wants to drive some level of a better pricing. And the discounts that you get off of your programmatic level of level A, B, C, or D in the Microsoft contract should be applied to the term of the contract. And that means if you have a 3-year contract, you're getting those discounts applied to year 1, year 2, and year 3. As well, the discounts should be applied to the future pricing table, which includes true-ups and subscription products. And this is maybe where a vendor can help you decipher whether you receive discounts on a true-up, because the true-up is really a prepay and you're paying a license plus some amount of software assurance for the future in order to use that product. And so it's very difficult to look at that price on the future pricing table and to say, was it discounted or not, because it's such a convoluted calculation. Now, I will share with you that discounts are one that Microsoft does not publish what they have and provide to customers for a discount. And there are contract obligations within the Microsoft Enterprise Agreement about sharing. And you should often be leery about different vendors out there saying that they will do benchmarking, because that is against the Microsoft contract rules. However, how we recommend discounts at Directions is really based on size and complexity of the customer. Are they moving to a higher level SKU? What's the, you know, are they an iconic brand? Are they, what are the things that are important? And then we would recommend a discount based on a whole bunch of different parameters in order to go to Microsoft, along with the other concessions, because Microsoft does negotiate holistically, which includes legal, business, and pricing. Mm-hmm. I will say, I'll reinforce the message, you do want to ask for a not to exceed clause. As I mentioned briefly before, if you do not, you could be staring down a massive increase in the future years. Another pricing concession, if you are a larger organization, is that any net new products that are added to the enterprise agreement that are not previously on the enterprise agreement are added at a specific discount. Mm-hmm. Microsoft may decline due to their revenue recognition rules, but it is worth a request, at least for a trade-away concession.
Okay. Another area that we talked about briefly when it comes to negotiation items is business concessions. So what does that exactly mean when you're talking business concessions, and what should customers be thinking about here when we're talking about that specifically?
Yeah, so business concessions are really anything that are not financial, sort of, and not legal in nature. Microsoft does bunch all of those into just the concession bucket. Mm-hmm. But some of the concessions that we would recommend that are more business related, as I mentioned earlier, are non-standard term. Mm-hmm. Let's try to align the contract to Microsoft's fiscal year end, which ends in June, so that you could then negotiate when it means the most to Microsoft. Ramping of products over time. So instead of buying 100% of the product year one, maybe you buy over the course of time and you ramp over 12 months or 18 months or 24 months. And that ramping in itself actually drives an effective discount. If you ramp a product over 24 months, that's like you getting a 31% discount based on the fact that you've ramped it over the 24 months. And that might be a way for you to help negotiate some pricing with Microsoft, saying, if you don't give me at least 31%, why would I move? I'll just ramp. Mm-hmm. And Microsoft does not like ramping based on the fact that there's risk.
Yep.
You could move to another product. You could ramp over a longer period of time. Another business concession is around license reductions. In Section 2 of the enrollment, there is an initial requirement along with the section for license reduction, and that marries up to some definitions in the qualified device and qualified user, an enterprise license and an enterprise license or enterprise subscription license, along with managed user definitions. All of those are somewhat, let's just say, difficult to understand how they all weave together. I would ask Microsoft the ability to allow for a reduction in my enterprise licenses beyond my initial commit. Mm-hmm. Now, license reductions can also be due to workforce reduction. And asking for a special clause in the mergers and acquisitions section of the enterprise agreement that allows for a reduction due to a workforce reduction is important, because not only would you then be able to reduce subscription licenses that are enterprise licenses, you would also be able to reduce license and software assurance licenses, such as for SQL and Windows Server.
Yeah, that's something I only recently figured out through talking with the directions analyst, was if your company suddenly has to downsize or lay off a bunch of people, it doesn't mean you can just say, okay, Microsoft, we don't need those licenses now. It has to be in your contract, right?
Yeah, and that's one where when we've talked to Microsoft in the past, you get conflicting answers, whether you can reduce or can't reduce. I will tell you that it's our opinion that you can reduce, and I would love to chat with customers about that. But for safety's sake, it's best to get a clarification amendment that says, for clarification purposes, we're allowed to reduce less than our initial commit on our enterprise agreement.
Okay. Let's take a quick break so that I can talk a bit more about what we do here at Directions on Microsoft. First and foremost, in spite of our name, we are not affiliated with Microsoft. We provide product strategy and licensing information about Microsoft Enterprise products, as you're hearing from Dean today. Among the many services we offer are our regular Microsoft licensing boot camps to help customers new to licensing get up to speed and veterans to refresh their knowledge about Microsoft licensing. Our next virtual boot camp is October 30th to November 3rd. And if you're more interested in an in-person boot camp, we do have one coming up January 24th to 26th in San Diego. I would love to go to San Diego. Maybe I'll go. Whether virtual or in person, these in-depth boot camps offer attendees the most up-to-date Microsoft licensing information out there. We also offer advisory services, such as EA negotiation support with Dean and team, and Microsoft strategy assessments, where we help you one-on-one with your specific Microsoft product questions and licensing issues. Go to directionsonmicrosoft.com or email info@directionsonmicrosoft.com to learn more about all of the services that we offer. Okay, back to the world of EA negotiation items and concessions. So what about product-specific concessions, Dean? Say Microsoft, we've already kind of put out this scenario, but say Microsoft is really intent on getting you as a customer to move up to E5. How do you decide when and if this makes sense? And what kind of give and take should you expect around this when you're talking to Microsoft?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, give and take at Microsoft is obviously, if you're moving up to SKU chain or buying more or deploying more licenses, they're willing to give you a little bit more, maybe more discount. And mixing of the licenses between E5, E3, and F3, and I'm referring to the Microsoft 365 suite, mm-hmm. is something that you really need to understand and what your requirements are by the different components, like information protection and governance, e-discovery and audit, or insider risk management. Because depending on what your requirements are, maybe you do not need to go to the full E5, and you could buy a la carte. You could buy mm-hmm. E3 with some of the a la carte. And you can use that as a negotiation way to drive a bigger discount. Hey, Microsoft, I only need Microsoft 365 E3 and information protection and governance. If you want me to go to E5, I don't need those other products. I have competitors. Unless you give me a bigger discount, I'm just going to stay, and the competitors will live in this environment. The other part, specific requirements around products, we see a lot of issues with Microsoft 365 F3. F3 licenses comes with a size requirement of less than 10.9 inches on the diagonal. And I'm sure everyone out mm-hmm. there is actively measuring those devices to make sure. And it also comes with a sharing requirement that it can only be shared with another F3 or F1 user. Customers may want to request a change based on their business requirements. Maybe that shared device is also shared with an E3 or an mm-hmm. E5 user. Maybe the devices are greater than 10.9 inches. Having flexibility in that, understanding what your user requirements are, will help you drive some of those product-specific questions. As well, Microsoft F3 comes with the Windows operating system, the general availability channel, not the long-term service channel. And it also does not have MDOP, Microsoft Desktop Optimization Pack. These are both potential in for concessions if there are requirements. If you're using, you know, BitLocker and you need the ability to manage that, then you'll need MDOP. You might want to have a concession for that. Maybe you have a kiosk that you need to load the long-term service channel in because you don't get to these kiosks. They're in a plant somewhere and you don't update and you can't have the constantly update from the GAC. And so having some concessions around how you use the Windows operating system that's provided with Microsoft 365 E3 could be some other product concessions. I'll also comment a little bit about all of the things that you're buying from Microsoft. Not all of them, but many of them are bought or can be bought by component. And if you are buying and only need some of the components, you can use that to drive discount for other things and not just for that product. As I said, Microsoft works on a give-get model. You might be looking at information protection and governance, as they say, which might lead to a discount in Azure. Mm-hmm. And so you need to look at this holistically in order to say, well, what are all the business requirements? What are all the product requirements? What are all the legal requirements? What are all my financials? So that I could then go to Microsoft with a consolidated request to get the best deal.
Okay. You just brought up the L word, legal. So what kinds of things should customers be thinking about when it comes to legal concessions that they might get?
Yeah, legal concessions, usually they're found in the Microsoft Business and Services Agreement, or if it's an older one, the Microsoft Business Agreement. Mm-hmm. And here, your lawyers will have an interpretation of what they need to request. But some of the ones that we see are around limitation of liability. Current limitation of liability is for direct damages only for the last 12 months price paid, basically for online services. Customer may want to consider a longer duration, maybe 36 months, and negotiate to 24. In that case, they have a give and a get all in the same request. Mm-hmm. License verification. There's three paragraphs usually in the license verification section of the MBSA. It covers the right to verify, you know, the partner confidentiality, the fees, the penalties, if it'll be a self-audit. I would encourage the customers to look at the components of these to request some changes. Maybe you want to have the self-audit as a first course of action, not as at Microsoft discretion. Maybe you want to have the fees and the penalties that are applied to you where they're capped, or maybe the partner fee that Microsoft pays for a partner to come in also to be capped, or maybe not even to be included. One other final thing that I would tell you that the lawyers like to look at for legal options are really found in the product terms and the data protection addendum. Mm-hmm. And that really relates to the online services. You know, where is data located? What's data at rest? How do you do notification if there is a breach? Those types of concessions I won't specifically comment on because that is very specific to the customer. Mm-hmm. But having your lawyer review the data protection addendums, it's actually two, because GitHub has their own addendum, as well as the product terms on how it relates to some of the online services, security and compliance things that Microsoft does, would be also open to legal concessions that you could gain. And if you are highly regulated or have certification requirements, those things are easier for Microsoft to provide concessions. So as an example, there's a financial services amendment if you're a financial services company, which allows you to get access to some of the audit information Microsoft has. And so depending on your industry, depending on your requirements or your regulatory, you can gain some legal requirements a little bit easier than some of the business requirements.
Okay. Wow, there's a lot of food for thought in this one. So thank you so much, Dean. I really appreciate your time and the conversation. For those following along with our EA Advisory series of podcasts, our next episode will feature Dean again, and we'll be talking about negotiation levers this time. So stay tuned for that. To close, I want to remind our listeners they can find a lot more coverage of all things Microsoft related on directionsonmicrosoft.com. Thank you for listening. If you have questions, comments, or any topics that you would like to hear the directions analysts cover in one of these podcasts, please do not hesitate to contact me via Twitter at Mary Jo Foley. And speaking of Twitter, we at Directions have converged our existing channels into a single new platform. Give us a follow at DirectionsMSFT on Twitter for all the latest Microsoft Enterprise product and licensing information. Thank you very much.
Thank you.